540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning, I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican lawmakers are now stating that a $32 million cut to the University of Wisconsin system is the minimum they would like to see cut. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said Republicans in the Assembly are united, and he's working with his colleagues in the state Senate to see if they can cut more from the UW system. The revelation comes after Republican lawmakers delayed a vote on the system's budget late on Tuesday, and after Democratic Governor Evers stating he would veto a budget with a cut to public education that large. Budget-writing state lawmakers will not put $340 million in the state budget to invest in child care centers in Wisconsin. Terry Bell reports.
Wisconsin got $340 million from Washington to keep the state's child care industry going during the pandemic. Senator LaTanya Johnson is from Milwaukee.
For the employers that rely on that workforce to keep their factories open, to keep those grocery stores open that we relied on every single day during the pandemic, for those hospitals that relied on those frontline workers to save our lives.
Democrats and child care workers want the state to take over the child care subsidy permanently. Macy Bueller owns a child care center in DeForest. She says money from the Child Care Counts program accounts for 20% of her budget. She says that money helps her pay her employees and helps keep tuition down for parents.
Without child care counts and some other investment, I don't think we'll get out of this hole that we're in for child care.
Democrats on the Joint Finance Committee have argued throughout the budget process that child care is an important component of economic development. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Lawmakers and officials at the Department of Public Instruction seem to be at an impasse when it comes to details surrounding a bill to overhaul elementary reading instruction.
We know that there is a great deal of research that shows that there are mixed results at best for any kind of retention for students. What we do support are the other pieces of this legislation, including the development of individualized reading plans and additional diagnostic screenings to better understand the root cause of a child's reading issue.
Laura Adams is the Policy Initiatives Advisor with the state DPI. Forecast calls for hotter temperatures this weekend and next week. That means a bigger risk for people with heart conditions.
Those who are physically ill, especially individuals with heart disease, high blood pressure, who take certain medications which are very common, such as medications for depression, insomnia, or the inability to sleep, or for general conditions of poor circulation.
Dr. Pernegas is a cardiologist with Washington University Medical School in St. Louis, and that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, Civic.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. Authorities have identified the victims of that small plane crash in Watertown as a 73-year-old grandfather and his 8-year-old grandson from Waukesha. The cause of the crash is still unknown. The Lake County Bomb Squad was called in and residents evacuated after a homeowner discovered a suspicious item resembling a World War II-era anti-tank rocket in their backyard yesterday. The device found in Antioch near the state line was taken by the bomb squad to be detonated. Racine's Lighthouse Run starts at 8 tomorrow morning. The downtown Juneteenth parade starts at noon. That created a situation of staffing for Racine Police Chief Maurice Robinson.
And given that two events were scheduled for the same day, I am at a staffing situation where we do not have enough people to put a cop on every corner to support a run.
The run course has been adjusted to lessen officer impact and the impact to drivers. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J.
The Brewers are back at home tonight. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers opening a three-game weekend series tonight against the Pittsburgh Pirates. As for television coverage, it will only be streamed on Apple TV. The crew had yesterday off after being swept in back-to-back series against the Oakland A's and the Minnesota Twins. Craig Counsell on trying to snap a six-game losing streak.
Nobody's happy when you're on your little losing streak. You know, day off comes at a good time and get ready for, whatever we got, 20 or so games in 21 days, I think, before the break or something like that. So it's a tough stretch, and you know, we're going to have to play well.
The Pirates now with just a half-game lead above the Brewers after they lost again last night to the Cubs, the final 7-2. The Cubbies swept the Pirates in that three-game series at Wrigley Field. Pirates manager Derek Shelton.
You know, I mean, I think, you know, we've been through a couple tough stretches already this season, and that, like I've said before, this group's pretty resilient. We just got to stay away from the big inning. I mean, we had big innings in all three games in this series, and we just need to move on and get to Milwaukee.
So the Pirates now with just a half-game lead above Milwaukee. They've lost six of their last 10 games. They'll send left-hander Rich Hill against the Brewers' Julio Teheran. In golf, round two of the U.S. Open in L.A. today, atop the leaderboard, Ricky Fowler and Xander Schauffele both finishing at 8 under par after round one. NFL, the Packers' outside linebacker Rashawn Gary was asked, when does he think he'll be able to return after suffering that torn ACL in his right knee last November at Ford Field against the Lions?
What is your plan to be ready for the opener in Chicago?
I'll be ready when I'll be ready.
Do you think you'll be ready in training camp at all?
I'll be ready when I'll be ready.
Joe Barry's defense really missed Rashawn's presence the latter half of the season. He talked about the days after his knee surgery.
I'll tell you, like, a very emotional day was my first steps, because I've been getting better day by day. Like, that's really where my head been. So nothing really been hard on me, but my very emotional day for me was my first steps, and my mom was able to see me walk to the car.
That's Packers outside linebacker Rashawn Gary. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude on 540 AM WAUK.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a hey, big doing?
Party, man.
Yeah,
brother, like, solid. Right on.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Earl. How are you?
You don't sound like you're doing well.
Well, you know, it's Friday. Sandy Williams is in the studio. It's hard not to be doing well.
No, it's what you sound like, man, coming through the microphone.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not you. It's very something faint. Going on, yeah. with your microphone.
Yeah, I'll figure that out. You're right.
Yeah, man. Okay. I mean, you know, and it is Friday. Good morning to you, Sandy. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams, my co-host.
How are you, Earl? It's Friday. I come on the celebrated Friday.
You know, man, I don't know. I'm thinking I'm coming down with something. The weather has been atrocious.
You're coming down with the weather.
That's yeah. Man, it's been atrocious, man.
Like 3 nights ago, I sat in my little office in my house with I have a fireplace in there. I had the fire going. It was
in June.
It was pleasant, but it was the wrong month.
It's the middle of June.
Yeah,
and you know, we can no longer say, well, you know, it's all right, man. It's the middle of June.
You know, I read an article about the collapse of the currents in the ocean. Okay, and this was this really brought home to me the whole climate change thing. A friend of mine, John Hopkins, sent it to me, and it was an article about how perilously close we are to substantial changes in the currents in the ocean. The currents are caused in large part by the ice melts. Okay, and when the ice freezes in Greenland and in the Antarctic. It gets rid of the salt that's in the ice. So the water freezes, gets rid of the salt. The salt water in the area of this frozen gets very dense. And when it gets dense, it sinks and it moves, and it's a complicated story. But it's that salt, the formation of that salt density that creates essentially the Japanese current. The Gulf Current and the Japanese currents are the two that we can talk about. We know the names of the Japanese current. Warms the west coast of the United States, and the Gulf Current warms Europe. But all those currents are interconnected. And if one part of that current gets interrupted, the interconnectedness of it collapses, and the currents collapse. And if the currents collapse, the currents are what essentially moderate the temperatures on the globe. So the the cold temperatures of the north are moderated to get warmer, and the hot temperatures at the tropics are moderated to get cooler, so that much more of the Earth is habitable. It looks like these currents might break down in 20 or 30 years, and maybe they're breaking down now, because the result of this, in spite of the fact that what we'll have is global warming, is that the northern United States will get colder, and the southern United States will get hotter. There'll be portions of the Earth that are now heavily populated that will be depopulated, like India and these heavily populated areas that will be so hot. So I only mention all this because my office room was getting colder 4 days ago.
You mentioned that, but it just goes to show all of these things are interconnected with the climate, with human beings.
Yeah.
With this earth itself, with the life that's here. And anybody who thinks, and you keep hearing people talking about global warming is a fallacy, and anybody who thinks that is a nut.
Yeah, I think the problem is that we think about global warming and this it might get 4 degrees warmer. No, when they get to the tipping point, this tipping point with respect to these currents, and I think these currents are much more important and they're getting more study now than they used to, because they are the radiator in the car. They're the heat exchanger that moderates the temperature of the globe, all around the globe. And if that changes, some of the parts of the globe will get very cold. It'll be like Ice Age, and some of it will be very hot.
So I don't care what anybody says, Sandy. We're in the 50s in the middle of June.
Uh-huh.
And they're talking about from Texas to Florida, 115 to 120 degrees.
There you go.
And then you say this.
Yeah.
This stuff is not right.
Yeah.
Something is going on.
Maybe we're getting the taste of it. Maybe these currents are already moderated. I mean, El Nino, there are these temperature currents as well that occur. It's all
complicated.
I always say about everything, but the weather and the global temperature is much more complicated. And the simplistic thought that we can just not worry about it, that it'll be great because Milwaukee's going to get much more like North Carolina and its climate isn't that great. That isn't the way it's going to play out.
You know, Sandy, the scientists who study all of these things clearly know. And for people who don't understand science and those types of things, to try to debate the scientists, and they don't have a really firm footing,
yeah,
to even have a discussion with the scientist that talks about the melting and come on.
Well, in the world of alternative facts, we have alternative science too. Yeah, we got.
It really,
pick your science.
It really is mind-boggling and really dangerous, right?
Really dangerous.
In the long run, it's dangerous.
I mean, I thought the emergence from the Dark Ages was the emergence essentially into the scientific method, where we were going to base things on fact. We were going to get away from theology and ideology as the driving forces for how we thought. Where are we going? Maybe we're headed. Maybe the Dark Age is a cycle. Maybe we're headed back to another one.
And the frightening part about it, Sandy, is people who should—I shouldn't say they should know better, because if they knew better, they wouldn't be arguing this. Well, this is impacting the business community in this country, and it's costing the business community. If the world itself is not inhabitable for human beings,
right?
What are we talking about the business community?
Well, we'll have mass migration. We're already having migrations. We and the countries all worry about it. We worry about immigration, right? That's a migration,
right?
And so we've got migrations going on around the world. Mostly, they're caused now by war and things that human beings impose on one another. But if we start having massive migrations as the result of weather changes, it could be very, very destabilizing. Let's take a country like India. Let's say that the southern half of India becomes uninhabitably hot.
Where are those people going?
Where are those people going, and what are the people going to do when they get there? You know, so, you know, it's the destabilization from this is more than just weather. It's more than just where people live. It's society.
You know, Sandy, I was reading something, and I didn't even get into the article. It might have been this morning, might have been yesterday, but whatever it was talking about the United States is saying that these other nations aren't focused enough on what they should be focused on with the climate change. And so we ourselves are doing the exact same thing.
Right.
And if anybody who should understand it in those types of things, we should spearhead it, right? I mean, we spearhead other things.
We should definitely, we shouldn't ask Joe Manchin, for instance, about this. Well, I mean, because, you know, like I said, you know, when the world is changing and moving in a new direction, the establishment is got its feet locked into the status quo, and the status quo is what we've got to change away from. So, you know, a lot of the systems in the world, a lot of the sociological, geopolitical systems are locked in the present, which are resistant to changing to the future.
You talk about, complex all the time, complex. But man, what you just said about the waves and the salt melting from the glaciers.
Yeah.
And that somehow has impact on the waves, and the waves then eventually.
It's not waves. It's the currents.
Current. Yeah. Right,
so these currents are, you know, are moving warm water.
In the oceans.
Warm water to where it isn't warm, and they're basically moderating the temperature of the surface of the ocean, to which changes the climates, you know,
and impacts the life.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
it's in the ocean.
Sort of startling, but London, which is quite moderate, hardly ever snows in London, right? London's further north than any populated city in Canada. Milwaukee is at the same latitude as Athens, Greece. Athens, Greece is a very warm place. Milwaukee isn't quite so very warm. So if you look at the globe now, it's clearly affected by these currents in a major sort of a way. Major.
So last thing before we move on, because, I mean, I'm really kind of blown away by that information that, that you gave.
Yeah.
Because we as average everyday Joes, we just, hey, it's cold outside today. Like I said, it's colder than it should be. I'm not thinking, well, maybe this, I know there's something that's not right.
Right.
But to go into the depth, and it's probably even deeper than what you just explained, the science of all of this.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the fact that ice, it's the formation of ice that creates this. So if we get too warm and ice no longer is forming in the winter, we think of ice as what polar bears walk on. But it turns out that when ice forms, it excretes this salt, creates salty portions of the ocean, which contribute to the currents.
Now, all of those things also probably interconnected with whether or not our globe turns the right way if the sun strikes it. And all, I mean,
that might not be true. That might be Earl science.
Okay, I don't know, man. I don't know. What do I know? I'm only a lowly talk show host. Yeah. I'm gonna stay in my lane. I got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. It's Friday with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISBRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy skies expected today, with daytime highs approaching 72. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 52 tonight, mainly clear skies. Highs level off around 78. Tomorrow, mainly clear. Low 80s Sunday and Monday, with a chance for scattered rain showers Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, I was going through some things this morning, and I ran across this article, and it talked about Ukraine, which you and I have been talking about since before this war even began. And it says, a marathon. How long will U.S. support a brutal war in Ukraine? Much rest on the counterstrike. And this is in today's USA Today. But what was interesting, Sandy, is it talked about the amount of money that we've been spending since this war started, since Russian President Vladimir Putin's unprovoked invasion of the country in February 2022, the Pentagon has spent more than $40 billion to send missiles and bullets, armored personnel carriers, and soon tanks to the besieged troops there. That's about $2.5 billion a month, highlighted by more than $2.4 billion in the last week to support the long-awaited Ukrainian offensive and aimed at uprooting Russian invaders. But what now is being talked about that wasn't talked about before, and maybe it was, but, you know, not in the light. How much longer is America going to be willing to do this? And I thought that was pretty strange, considering right now America's been pushing and supporting, and they want to see something. They're saying, hey, Ukraine, show us something. Now that the offensive has started, we've given you these weapons, show us something. What are they expecting them to show?
Well, you know, this is, you know, this this kind of fair weather friend approach, like if your winners were with you, if your losers were not, is a demonstration of what I was worried about in the very beginning of this, which is we have gotten into this whole process of sort of meddling in the Ukraine, even though we don't have a strategic interest for American security in the Ukraine. If we had a strategic American interest in Ukraine, we would be not just fair weather friends, we'd be in it completely. For the long haul, be in it for the long haul because it's strategically important, right? But if it's not strategically important, then we're really just meddling for dog in the manger purposes of poking a stick in Russia's eye or whatever our purpose was, then we are fair weather friends and we'll back out when it gets tough, when they're not winning, when our money isn't accomplishing what we want, which is apparently to win a war against Russia, not to preserve Ukraine for some strategic purpose on our part. So I think this is further demonstration of the falsity of the, in terms of a real politics sense, the fact that Ukraine just is not strategically important to the United States. And we're going to demonstrate that by losing faith in and losing support for our involvement. Our involvement to date has been extreme. $40 billion in munitions and from the Pentagon, but another $60 billion of other kinds of financial aid, which God knows where that is or how it was spent. And so this is proof, I think, that America's foreign policy is developed in a faulty fashion. The American people are led down primrose lanes of patriotism, describing us as being the people who are going to dive into processes to save democracy wherever it is. But incidentally, we'll only do it for a while, and there's a limit to our capacity, et cetera, et cetera. We ought to pull back our horns and restrict ourselves to being involved in things that are of strategic importance to the United States. Let me assure you that Taiwan would turn into the very same problem if we decided to arm Taiwan and Taiwan got into an armed conflict with China. We'd be fair weather friends, too.
We're clearly pulling back on that whole thought of Taiwan. For people who haven't noticed it, we are distancing ourselves from the conversations we were having months ago. And yeah. Anthony Blinken is
over there trying to smooth feathers because, you know, when you beat the drums, and the problem is, it's like opening Pandora's box, you know, that expression, and then it comes out.
Right.
The genie comes out of the bottle, you can't get it back in. If you beat the domestic drums about being hostile towards China, that China's our hot enemy, that we're going to prepare ourselves for a war with China, which we're still talking about.
Right.
Even this Blinken visit to China, one of the things we're talking about is setting up a mechanism for
a war with China.
For a red line phone so that if we're in war with China, we can have telephonic contact with them over the use of, nuclear weapons? I mean, this is like the Cold War with Russia. We have to be careful about how we beat the drums publicly and domestically so that we don't get the American public all fueled up about stuff which is not really of strategic importance to us and is not consistent with a sound foreign policy for the United States. We need to make our public more sophisticated about it, and we need to get a sophisticated view about how we develop these
policies. What I want to do, you know, before we go to break is our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. What are your thoughts on the Ukrainian war now? Because based on the things I've been reading, they say 50% of Americans support the war now. So I'd like to hear from you.
Well, that means 50% don't.
I know, right.
And also it's the conservative bloc in Congress that seems to be
pushing back against it.
I guess it's a strange bedfellow for me, but I'd be pushing back against it too. But I'm interested in the public's view out there about how they're feeling about this, because you know a lot of our callers have in the past said, you know, democracy, we got to protect it.
Yeah, we got 844-967-2789. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Yeah.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A new tornado outbreak has killed at least three people in the Texas panhandle city of Perryton. Storm chaser Brian Emfinger.
It's Mobile Home Park.
at least 10 mobile homes, but very easily could be more, are just gone.
A suspected cyber criminal gang in Russia has targeted agencies and universities around the world, including here in the U.S. Deputy National Security Advisor for Cyber and Emerging Technology, Ann Neuberger.
This criminal group has started to put the data that they extorted out on the dark web because they're trying to get companies to pay for it.
Canadian police say at least 15 senior citizens headed to a casino in Manitoba were killed in a bus crash.
Please know that the RCMP have sent every available resource to the scene and are working very closely with the medical examiner's office.
The bus is believed to have collided with a tractor trailer. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. Former Racine County Office of Emergency Management Coordinator Jay Kerner and his wife Tiana entered not guilty pleas yesterday to charges related to child abuse. Jay faces 8 charges, while Tiana faces 19 counts of physical, mental, and sexual child abuse. Kenosha prosecutors are handling the case. The 11-year-old boy missing in Milwaukee was wearing a black anime t-shirt, blue jean shorts, and black Nike Air Force Ones. Police are asking people to keep an eye out for the black youngster with short dreads and brown eyes. He was last seen near McKinley and Bellar Phillips. An interactive art event comes to the area this weekend. Melissa Kay has more.
The Brady Street Art Walk tomorrow in Milwaukee features artists creating art on the street while attendees engage with them. A new activity this year for children involves them throwing paint-filled water balloons at a wall to create a collaborative art piece.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The summer heat can really get to you. Hot, sticky, you feel like you're melting. But Wauwatosa, coming in July, it'll be easy to cool off at Joy Ice Cream Social. This family-run, family-friendly business is more than just ice cream. It's a cool community hangout spot for friends and family. Let's talk about the ice cream. 16 delicious rotating flavors direct from the chocolate shop in Madison. The perfect way to stay sweet and cool this summer. Opening in July, Joy Ice Cream Social. Scoop, snack, shop. 8334 West North Avenue. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram.
Did you know the Country Music Hall of Fame group, the Oak Ridge Boys, is celebrating 50 years of great music? The boys are on tour and will be playing the Menominee Nation Arena in Oshkosh Friday, June 16th. Their four-part harmony upbeat songs are legendary, but do you know which of their many hit singles topped the country charts and became a top 5 on the pop charts? Is it Bobby Sue, Elvira, or their holiday song, Thank God for Kids? The answer coming up.
I'm the new guy. I joined in October of 73. I was 25 years old, and here it is 50 years later. I'm still singing with the Oak Ridge Boys, and I'm 75 years old.
That's Joe Bonzel, the tenor of the group. I talked with him about the Oshkosh show and their fans.
They can expect to hear a fast-paced show, lots of music, lots of singing. You can bring grandma, bring the kids, and they're not going to hear nothing they shouldn't hear.
And one thing you can expect to hear, the song Elvira. It is the Oak Ridge Boys' single hit to top both the country and pop charts. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And yes, you know, I get it. I know what's going on in Ukraine is not on, you know, the domes of most of us because we don't have troops there, Sandy. I think it might be if we had, well, I guess I couldn't even say that because towards the end of Afghanistan and Iraq, we had troops there and American people weren't really interested in that. That's why a war could go on for 20 years.
Yeah, we sort of had just a limited number of troops. We had all volunteer troops. People were on their third or fourth deployment. They weren't calling up new people. They were just
recycling
people who were there. So it was like out of sight, out of mind, out of sight, out of mind a little bit. But, you know, the Ukraine thing, you know, we talk about how, you know, autocratic leaders will get an appetite for warfare. We have to look back and see how this thing started, because if we had left Ukraine in a position where it had to negotiate for itself with Russia over how it would deal with Russia and whether it would join NATO, et cetera, there wouldn't have been a war. There would have been maybe a diplomatic capitulation, but diplomatic capitulations occur all over the world in the world of hegemony, right? Where we've got all sorts of diplomatic capitulations to the United States that occur on the Western Hemisphere. I'm sure, you know, we lean on people and they capitulate with respect to what they're going to do. We lean on them by saying we're going to economically sanction them or whatever. Well, that was the same kind of pressure that Russia was putting on Ukraine, and to try and get Ukraine to sort of line up with Russia. And we were the ones who facilitated them not doing that, which is what led to this conflict. So we ought to look back. We have to reflect on this because yes, hegemonic powers will flex their muscle. The United States flexes its muscle. We flex our muscle all over the globe, and we flex it. You know, if China were patrolling the Cuban Strait between the United States and Cuba, we'd be pretty wired up about that.
So flexing our muscle means aircraft carriers in areas that threaten other nations,
sure,
and straits and other places, and those nations. That's a warning, right? I mean, that's really what they react to it.
So, I mean, I had a conversation with a guy who was out of the CIA and this last week, and we were talking about the Straits of Taiwan. He said it's all about the freedom of the sea, and that's right. Why we're agitated about it. And I said, really? Because if China were patrolling the 100 miles between Cuba and the United States, we'd be really wired up about that, wouldn't he? And he laughed. He said, you know, you're right. You know, you're absolutely right.
No, well, it's...
You know, because, you know, we just don't look at our conduct objectively and figure out how it plays out in the world. And we've talked about it before. This is not anti-American. I'm just worried about America developing a foreign policy which is untenable and which is so very expensive. You mentioned, I think before we went off, a conservative who was talking, or maybe it was off the air, about a conservative congressman who was saying, well, if we're going to keep sending supplemental money to Ukraine, we're going to have to start cutting back the amount of money we spend in America on Americans. And, of course, that's right. Since Vietnam, we've developed this idea that we can support our military with a blank check, that we operate out of a deficit to right. And we're already getting to the point where we're recognizing deficits are a problem, so we better recognize that the military's blank check is a big problem associated with the deficit.
You talk about big problems. Former Senator Claire McCaskill slams GOP over plans to gut federal law enforcement. So I want to understand, and our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, Sandy, how when there was talk about defunding police by the Antifa or whoever it was,
yeah,
it lit up. People kept pushing back, how dare you talk about defunding law enforcement? It's the worst thing that ever happened, and no, and nonstop arguing about defunding, and people shouldn't get elected. When Mandela Barnes was running for U.S. Senate, there was constant commercials. He said defund the police, and these people were outraged. But Sandy, can you say defund federal law enforcement, the FBI, the CIA, and those kinds of folks, well, and they're really pushing now.
Well, let's look at this, because I hate to break things down and return to race as an issue, but the police, when people talk about the police, they're really talking about, in their minds, the police activities in the cities, where the police force is being exercised primarily vis-a-vis people of color.
Right.
The areas where crimes are committed at a high rate, which ends up being in impoverished areas, which end up being
on one another.
Places on one another end right. up being places where people of color live. And so we don't want to defund that kind of activity, but the federal police who are imposing themselves on, well, me and you, you know, and Tom and right. Dick, and particularly white collar crime. Well, let's worry about those guys. We're going to rein in those police because they're enforcing laws of a different sort, okay? And they're enforcing laws. They want to rein in. They don't want to just rein in the FBI. And,
the Justice Department of Justice.
They want to rein in the Justice Department. They do antitrust. That's a law people don't like to see enforced. But that's not a problem for you and me. That's a problem for big guys. They want to see the laws that are imposed through OSHA regulations, all this federal
yes.
all this federal red tape, this enforcement. This is very inconvenient stuff.
You know, Sandy, it is. And our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Your thoughts? I mean, I don't know how, because this is not going away, Sandy. This is something that they're going to continue to push. Number one, I get it. In some instances, a lot of people feel it's because, you know, they're going after Donald Trump. And a lot of it is, again, based on the fact that we're the good guys. Why are they going after us?
Mm-hmm.
The FBI is there for the IRS.
We're the patriots.
Yes.
and well, yeah, really. I mean, that is the – and I think that is a real felt sense that – they think they're doing what's necessary to preserve America in their vision of what America ought to be. Faulty as I think it might be, they have an idealistic vision. In their minds, it's idealistic about what America ought to be and how they're preserving it. And the enforcement of these laws are basically being enforced against people who are trying to pursue that vision. They think, okay. And this is part of what's broken in America. This is the broken part of American society. Not that those people are broken, but society generally is broken. We've lost our moorings. We've lost the concept of what America is, and it's become a divided concept.
So the other part of this, Sandy, is Mr. Trump's promise fits into a larger movement on the right to gut the FBI, overhaul the Justice Department, conservatives claim, has been used to weaponize against them and abandon the norm, which many Republicans view as a facade, that the department should operate independently from the president. Joe Biden, I don't think, Sandy, is the impetus for what's happening to Donald Trump. And the FBI is not something that Joe Biden controls, as it wasn't Donald Trump who controlled it when he was there.
Well, you know, I do have a problem with secrecy, and I have a problem with the lack of oversight. The FBI was definitely broken under J. Edgar Hoover when they were following Martin Luther King around
yes.
and smearing him and making his life difficult,
yes.
maybe participating in conspiracies associated with him. So the problem is that these entities like the FBI and the CIA, our intelligence apparatus, operate in the dark fundamentally. And have definitely stepped out of bounds at times. Now, does that mean we have to get rid of them altogether? What would we replace? Do we not have to have federal law enforcement? We obviously do. We have federal laws. We have to enforce them. But just like police departments require better oversight in order to make sure that they don't operate in a manner that's detrimental to their community, we probably have to have the right kind of oversight for our federal activities, including intelligence and the FBI. But does that mean getting rid of them and defunding them? No, just like I don't really agree with defunding the police. But interestingly, people come up with the same answer on different political polls, right? I mean, yeah. One poll wants to defund the police because of what they're doing to their communities, and the other people want to defund the FBI and the federal authorities because how inconvenient they are for the establishment.
You know, an alarm went off in my head when you said there needs to be oversight of the police departments. And all it made me think about right away is what Robin Voss and Republicans have done to the city of Milwaukee as it relates to the oversight of police departments
Let's get rid of the oversight commission that exists for the police in Milwaukee.
And they've done that.
Yeah, they're trying to, yeah.
And so to me, Sandy, the fact that they've done that it just sends a message that, so whatever law enforcement does to people in Milwaukee is all right with us. We're not going to charge them because they're law enforcement.
But Glenn Grothman, who just recently was part of the Wisconsin legislature and would definitely be voting along with Robin Voss and all that, I'm sure Grothman will be for defunding the FBI.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Yeah, because and not moving in the direction of funding them, but giving the correct oversight, okay? I mean, the right answer is roll up your sleeves, legislature, and do your job. Roll up your sleeves, Milwaukee Common Council and city and commission, and do your jobs. But it's not defund them, and it's not remove the commission, which is the effort on Milwaukee to have oversight.
Which the people of the city of Milwaukee should have the right to that. I mean, it shouldn't have been about politics where the police union could do this to the legislature heavy-handedly and said, hey, we need you to fix that. And then Robin Voss steps up and says, okay, we're not concerned about the people. And I said this yesterday, Sandy. The people in Milwaukee are residents of the state as well. Right?
Sure.
And so you can't treat the people from Milwaukee as if they're not parts of the state of Wisconsin. We're citizens of the state.
Well, and local rule, the whole concept of local rule. You know, localities know best what localities want and need. That was the whole principle. So this locality decided they wanted a police commission, but Big Brother out there decided, well, no, that's inconvenient. That's inconvenient for the police union, at least. And, they never expressed what problem the police commission was creating for the Milwaukee residents to decide to get rid of it. It just sort of came up like, okay. Was there ever a policy discussion that was publicized?
Absolutely not.
No.
Listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be back. Sandy.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, Thank you.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 72 this afternoon under mainly cloudy skies. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 52. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow. Highs around 78. Low 80s Sunday and Monday with a chance for scattered rain showers Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
You can text us at that same number. You know, Sandy, I had a discussion on yesterday, and I began a discussion that I think we're going to talk about a lot, and that's about the fact that we have Americans disliking one another. And I mean to a degree, Sandy, that you can't trust each other based on political beliefs. And I don't know if that's ever happened historically, Sandy, in our country or not, but I probably, as I said yesterday, I wasn't around during the Civil War, but clearly in my lifetime, I don't ever remember a time like we're dealing with right now, where people clearly along lines say, I'm supporting, I believe this, and those people are wrong. Those people, meaning other Americans, their political beliefs and my political beliefs are polar opposite. We've had that before, but we were able to, for the betterment of our country, work those things out. Sandy, we're getting further and further away from working those things out.
Well, I think, you know, I think we've come to the point where the political poles look at each other and say that the other are un-American.
You're my enemy.
You're trying to destroy America ipso facto, that makes you an enemy. It's not someone I'm going to sit down at the table with. It's someone that is trying to destroy what I want. We're not going to negotiate. We're gonna play power, some form of power politics, or power just flexing our muscles, and that's what we've come to on both sides. Liberals view conservatives as being authoritarian, leaning in the direction of tearing apart the democracy, and conservatives view liberals in the same way as tearing apart the American vision, that the vision they have for America. Liberals want to destroy that vision, therefore they're un-American. And I would dare say that most callers, we should talk about this with callers if they call in, because I think that's the way people view it at increasing numbers. It's almost to the point where it was like it must have been when the abolitionists were at war with the other political arms who were in favor of slavery. That was a very emotional time, led to a caning in the Senate. You know, it was a time of open kind of warfare. But I think it's very dangerous, and I think we have to find a way for us to all believe that we're trying to improve America, we're not attacking America. And that what we're trying to do is create the better America. And I think that to some extent, that white America, you know, the power structure that has existed until now, has to realize that they aren't at risk. You know, at the time when people of color become the majority in this country does not mean that all those people would be voting as a voting bloc against the interests of everybody else, okay? But that's the way we talk about it now. You know, we talk about how that America's bound to change because people of color are going to become the majority, and then we're going to have big changes politically. Well, really, when people of color have been third and fourth generation Americans, there's every reason to believe that they'll have the same range of political views as everybody else. And so we make a mistake even in our thought processes of creating a quilt of colors to try and figure out what the demographics and what the future of America is. But I fear that at least on the conservative side, that what they're very afraid of is that very fact, that it's going to change in some horribly detrimental fashion to what they have come to understand to be America.
But how do you address people's fears? People have to, everybody has fears, but people have to come to grips with their own fears, because whatever their fears are doesn't make it fact. And so when you have right now, and this goes to what you keep saying with the news, the media, and those types of things, clearly Newsmax, Fox News, ONN, all of these different outlets that clearly are Republican, and then MSNBC and used to be CNN on the other side of this, helping to continue to separate people. And people can't seem to pull themselves out and think for themselves. And so they say, oh, that sounds, I agree with that. Excuse me, as opposed to thinking for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, if America were just a couple, we'd definitely be in counseling.
Yeah.
Okay? And we would definitely we'd be talking about these problems and working out the fears, because our counselor would tell us, look, what's driving you two apart are your fears, and your fears are not warranted, but they're real. They're real, Earl. They're real, Sandy. You need to address them and talk about them and figure them out. And the problem I think we have as a country is that our media is not helping us with that at all. The media is probably fanning the flames, because fears sell, okay? Just like, you know, I think Trumpism is driven by fear. I think an awful lot of the media, an awful lot of social media, conspiracy theory, all of this is premised on the fact that fear sells. It's something that people gravitate. If you're afraid, you're going to read about it. You know, if you think you might have a disease, you read about that disease like mad, because you're afraid you might have it. And it's kind of the way things are working right now. And we need a counselor.
So let's put it this way. 844-967-2789. We know we have listeners on both sides of the aisle on this, Sandy. And I want us to be able to have the conversation from the left side of it, from the right side of it, because, you know, this has to be worked out in some way, shape, or form. I mean, if Donald Trump doesn't win the nomination, and if Donald Trump doesn't become the president of the United States, there's a group of people who are from this point forward going to be, there's nothing you can do to make that better, right? They're going to have this permanent hatred.
I'm kind of smiling because I'm realizing that I do this show kind of because I'm thinking that Earl and Sandy can be those counselors.
Yeah, we got to go to a break.
We can broker this.
Yeah, we got to go to a break. Hang on. We'll be right back. No.
Oh. Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.